This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on another rainy day. To the point where it's flooding all over the place here. They've closed schools here, believe it or not, because of the flooding.
Here, too. My daughter gets out in about a minute.
Oh, well, America, beware.
How about it?
This half hour of the show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. And the great Jim Jackson now joins us on the line. First of all, welcome back. Long time no here. It's just great to have you back on the other end of the line again.
Good to be here. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. And I hope you're doing well. So, how do you assess where the flaws are in the reboot, the season, and where they're positioned moving forward?
Well, I mean, we're six games from the end of the season, so any broad assessment, we'll wait until we see what happens in these next six games, because obviously it could drastically change how they end up this season, whether they're in the playoffs or not. But broad strokes, looking at it, I went into this season hoping for this team to play meaningful games in March and April. They have done that. Hoping for the younger players to take bigger roles on the team, and many of them have done that. I thought that if Carter Hart was going to be here the whole season, and if Sean Couturier and Cam Atkinson came back and were very important players all season long, that this team could make the playoffs. Those two things aren't necessarily happening. Obviously, Carter's gone. Cam has been in and out of the lineup, and Sean Couturier is now injured and also has seen his ice time reduced. So some of that hasn't come true, and yet they're still very much in contention. So I think when you look back at this season, most of what the organization wanted to accomplish has been accomplished. Now, the cherry on top of that would be a playoff spot, because then you'd get to have some of these players, the 24, 25-year-old players and younger, experience playoff hockey, which is a completely another step in terms of the way hockey is played. So I think they want to get that. At the beginning of the year, I don't think it was a necessity by any stretch. They just wanted to have a competitive team. They've accomplished that goal. But when you sit in a playoff position for 100, and I think it's up to 111 straight days now, the Flyers have been in a playoff position. Yep. When you've been in a playoff position that long, you want to be in those playoffs.
No question. So how have the fans reacted to all this? Because it's a great, I mean, not a good, it's a great hockey town. So how have they reacted now to how this has played out?
Well, it's been a roller coaster for them. They've had a lot to deal with. This team has had the Cutter Gauthier situation, the Carter Hart situation. They've had some injuries. They've had, obviously, the trade deadline, what to do there. They've had John Tortorella, who is constantly, of course, making news and grabbing headlines. So there's been a lot of, as they say, noise around the team. So for the fans, I think it's been entertaining. I think the fans' biggest desire was to see a team that would play hard and would be competitive. Any sports team in Philadelphia that gets that kind of moniker, gets that kind of label, is automatically popular. In fact, there are some teams in this town that did not win championships that had that moniker that were probably more popular than some of the teams that won championships. You know, some of the 93 Phillies come to mind, and some other teams like that. The Flyers had a couple teams that came close in the 80s that had tremendous followings, even though they didn't win the Cup. So it can definitely happen. This team is obviously, I don't think they're even going to the Stanley Cup Finals, but they have been competitive. They've been competitive with some of the best teams in the league. So I think the fans in general are good with this season. I think the new management team of Keith Jones and Dan Hilferty, along with Danny Briere and going down to Torts, they've done a great job of messaging so that the fans understand what this season's about. That's why they trade Sean Walker at the deadline. I mean, this team's probably more than a couple points in the playoffs right now if they have Sean Walker in the lineup the last month. But they traded him to get a first-round pick because they're still looking at this guy, which is success down the road, continued sustained success. I mean, being a Stanley Cup contender year after year, and that's where this team wants to end up. So they've managed to stay competitive while still accumulating some more assets for the future. So I'd say that's a job well done, and I think most of the fans realize that.
Which, by the way, I admire, because the one thing you don't want to be, and I use this all the time regardless of sport, you don't want to be the Atlanta Hawks. Good enough to make the playoffs, not good enough to advance, which means you're not in a spot to get a quality draft pick to change things, which has been there over and over and over again. And it sounds like Keith Jones and his staff have an eye on much more than just making the playoffs in future years.
They do, and certainly more than what the Flyers were the last decade, which basically was in the playoffs one year, out the next.
Right.
And then the last three, they haven't been in at all. So they definitely see that you have to accumulate assets. They instead of drafting a sure thing pick with their high pick last year, they go for Matvei Mishkov, who might not be here in 3 years, you know, for 3 years. But when he gets here, it's probably going to be that high end kind of talent you need to have. So they're forward thinking for sure, and I think the fans are aboard with that. The fans have had enough of the you know, being, as you say, the Atlanta Hawks of the NHL, which I don't know if the Flyers would even say they were that the last 3 years because they were out of the playoffs. But during the 2010s, after they went to the finals in 2010, and then they had a couple of second-round bids there the next 2 years, they then went every other year in the playoffs out after one round for 10, 11 years, a record for the NHL. So they literally were just in and out, in and out, in and out. And they were never terrible, but they were never great. And so I think this management team's aim is to get to that great level again. And I think the fans are willing to sacrifice. And in saying that, they haven't had to sacrifice the way, let's say, the Sixers tried to do it by just, you know, tanking three straight years. They've been competitive, or actually still alive for a playoff spot with less than 2 weeks to go. So it hasn't really been as painful as perhaps it was for the Sixers fans.
Yes, Dick Girardi and I have had many a conversation about the Sixers rebuild. All right. So, I want to ask you about John Tortorella. The fans will see the personality, they'll see the quotes and so forth. What kind of coach is he? And is he the kind of coach that gets the best out of his talent as you watch him play, as you watch him up close?
I do believe he is. First of all, let me say this about John. The John Tortorella that you see in press conferences most of the time, because he just had a press conference today that was outstanding. If you have a chance to go on YouTube or wherever and watch it, it's a great talk about coaching and about expectations and about his own style. And he was very forthright after he criticized the team the other night, and it was just a great press conference today. He does give the great press conferences, but he also has those where he walks in and is done in 30 seconds and, you know, where he berates a reporter or whatever. That's not really the John Tortorella you see very much away from the ice. He's one of the nicest human beings I've been around. He's very caring. He's a big animal lover, but he knows that. But he's also just, he cares about human beings. He cares about these players as men. So he is a great guy. His temper, he definitely has a temper, and his temper gets the best of him sometimes. But the bottom line is, as a coach, he's a great coach. This team is not in a spot right now, sitting in a playoff spot with less than 2 weeks to go in the season without John Tortorella as the coach. I can name so many examples of players where he disciplined them in some way, and then they ended up playing some of their best hockey immediately afterwards. Now, there is a thought, and I'm not saying there isn't some validity to this, that because he goes to the whip like that, that he might have a shorter shelf life than other coaches. But I will point out that he was in Columbus a long time.
Yeah, he was.
That team, if you look at their overall record as a franchise, before John Tortorella was there, near the bottom of the NHL. While John Tortorella was there, pretty good. And since John Tortorella left, at the bottom of the NHL. So, I mean, he's a good coach. He definitely knows how to get players to play hard. Some players don't like it. Some players don't like it, and they can't get along with it. And usually, you know, they will separate. They'll go their separate ways. Other players don't like it maybe in the beginning, but tend to like it later on. I've talked to several of his former players. Zach Werenski comes to mind, the defenseman for the Columbus Blue Jackets, who said early on, he just drove me crazy, but he now thinks that he's the reason he's such a good player. So I think you hear a lot more of those kind of players than you do the ones who didn't like John, more that give him credit for making them better players. And that's what he's all about. That's why he got back into this. He loves the teaching. He loves the making them better players, better men. And I think that's what drives him, and I think he's still very good at it.
See, Jim, that's exactly the answer I expected to hear, because I've always been big on him as a coach, always, and I've always heard behind the scenes that, hey, look, what you see at the press conference is not the guy. And I'm glad you're able to at least talk about that, because...
No, it isn't at all. He's very polite, he's very respectful, he's always interested in finding things out about other people, about if you're having a conversation with him, it's not him just telling you about himself. He wants to find out about you. So he's a great human being, and that part of it, he cares about his players too. And you know, as we all probably dealt with our parents at one point or another, you know, sometimes tough love does have to be applied, and John Tortorella does use tough love quite often, and some of the players can handle it, some can't, but the ones that can are probably the guys you want to ride with into the playoffs, you know, trying to get to where you want to get to eventually. So I think there's a method to his madness for sure.
So down the stretch, Sabres, Jackets, Canadiens, then Rangers, Devils, and Caps. How do you feel about how the latter part of this schedule plays out for Philadelphia?
I hesitate to do that, Steve, because...
Well, no, I'm not saying wins and losses, but I'm talking about the opportunities, Jim.
They had the gauntlet of seven straight games against top 10 teams. And then they had six straight against teams that were nowhere near the top 10.
Right.
And they made it through that gauntlet playing pretty good hockey, gaining some points, feeling pretty good about themselves, and they haven't won since.
they got to the stretch of
playing teams out of the playoffs. So, you know, you look at the schedule, there's absolutely winnable games there. There's huge games, too. Obviously, the Washington game is looking like it's going to be a huge contest. So there's going to be some games in there you have to win, but... I'm thinking if they win four out of the six, it's going to be pretty tough. Let's say 8 points or 8 or 9 points. Maybe they get an overtime loss in one of the other ones. 8 or 9 points, to me, will probably get them in, given the pace of the race, which has not been exactly quick here of late. The team has been really struggling once they get into playoff position or get near it. So we'll see. You better watch out for those Penguins. They're suddenly hot. They've got, obviously, the pedigree with Crosby and Malkin and Letang and those guys. And all these teams, one of them gets hot right now, and you know they all have 7 or 8, 9 games remaining. Actually, it's like 6 through 8 now, 6, 7, 8 games remaining. You know, you get hot in that stretch and win 5 or 6 of those, you're probably going to make the playoffs, any of those teams. So it's wild. There's so many teams now involved. The Flyers have helped to involve some of those teams by struggling here of late, but now you've got about 5 teams battling for 2 spots, and it'll be quite interesting. But for the Flyers, I think, you know, something like... 4-1-1 or 4-2 might even do it. Yeah. You know, 3-3-2 maybe. I don't know, but yeah. 8 or 9 points out of that group, I think, puts a lot of pressure on those other teams to play some really good hockey. So
right. It
should be all right. But they, not to sound like a cliche coach here, but they basically do have to take it game by game right now. They've got to get a win. They haven't had a win in their last 5. They've got to get a win, and that starts Friday in Buffalo. John Tortorella today talked about the fact that they're going to go in, the coaching staff, and talk with the players tomorrow before practice and basically talk mindset. And this basically sounds like that meeting you have where you basically set the tone for what's left of this season. And he's a little bit concerned, I think, that there's this thought out there that nobody expected the Flyers to do anything this year, so here they are, they're regressing to the mean, this was going to happen all along, and He said BS to that in the press conference, and I think he's going to say that to his players. He said, we're here, we deserve to be here, now let's go out and grab it. And we'll see how they respond on Friday.
Yeah, because, you know, that's exactly what, for example, I'll tell my broadcasting class. I said, you can't do the next game, you can only do the game in front of you. So when you hear the cliche, one game at a time, I said, that's actually your job, too.
Oh, absolutely is. I have a theory. You know, I know some broadcasters who, for instance, this weekend, the Flyers are playing Friday, Saturday, and some of them start doing some of their work for Saturday before the game on Friday, broadcasters. And they can do that. I personally can't do that because I think I'll start calling Columbus Blue Jackets players Buffalo Sabres players because we're playing Columbus on Saturday, Buffalo on Friday. I need to keep that carpet, what do they call that? You put it to a compartment, keep it in that one compartment. And basically, that's the next game. And then I'll worry about Saturday. I'll crash. I'll work very hard between the games Friday and Saturday and get ready for the Columbus game. But for now, the Flyers just have to worry about the Sabres on Friday. A win there, the Sabres are pretty much out if the Flyers win that one in regulation. You can start eliminating teams and start thinking positive about themselves again. Because this team really, there have been teams before, even Flyers teams that I've covered, that have been in contention for the playoffs, but they were there because a goalie was hot or because they're pretty fortunate. This team has outplayed teams pretty consistently this year. They can do that. They could outplay teams all six of these games the rest of the way. And if they do, their chances are pretty good. They've got to get some saves. It might be from the big Russian or they're going to get the saves from now, but they got to get some saves because they aren't getting them lately. Their save percentage since the middle of January is about 20 percentage points below any team in the NHL. It's very hard to win with that. And I'm not saying Sam Harrison has been terrible. They've given up a lot of 10-bell chances, but they just haven't been getting those big clutch saves from whoever's been between the pipes, and they got to get those in these final six. Who that goalie's going to be might be one of the more interesting stories.
Jim, you're the best. Thanks so much. Really appreciate the time today.
All right. Appreciate talking with you guys. Enjoy the lovely weather.
Yeah. Thanks. The great Jim Jackson joining us this half hour, being brought to you by good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, big weekend coming up. Todd leaving halfway through the show, bagging us today. But, you know, it's... I mean, what can I say? I'll stay for the whole thing. I mean,
hey, you get a half an hour with the suit. It's communal bonding.
Just when I thought there was no reason to live. Oh.
He's it's not a life preserver in this rain.
He's not going to talk about the Indy 500, is he?
Only if you let him.
Oh. Brutal. Brutal. All right.
We could do F1.
I'd rather do the Indy 500.
Right, see?
It's not May yet. We don't have to talk about it.
I don't know. As long as they qualify, it might be soon qualifying.
We don't have to talk about it.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So you said the suit is on the last hour?
That's who's going to be running at the board, yes.
Can I go too?
Well, we do have Mike Poorman at 205, so you do have somebody else to talk to.
I may keep him for the whole hour.
Yeah, if he can do it.
I'm just trying to keep the audience. This half hour of the show brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Go to NILGameChangers.org to begin your journey today. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at SunburyMotors.com. All right. So Stephon Diggs gets traded to the Houston Texans. This will give C.J. Stroud a good possession receiver to work with, because I feel he has transitioned in his career, not that he wants to, but from being a game breaker to being a possession guy. I feel like he's been a possession guy the last 2 years. He really hasn't been a game breaker for the Bills the last 2 years. I think that's fair to say. I think right now in his career, he is a good receiver. He is not a great receiver. He's good. Very good. But he's not great. You don't go in. I mean, I know you do go into the game and you know he's there and you know you have to at least get some semblance of control over what he's doing. But most of his catches now, Todd, are underneath coverages. He's not getting the big game-breaking plays. Like Gabe Davis, when he was healthy, he was the guy getting the game-breaking plays. The tight ends were. Not Diggs. And that's not a cut on Diggs. I'm saying that's just where he is right now in his career.
Yeah, I don't think he's the guy that he was when he came over from Minnesota. But you know, you have to like what the Texans have done this offseason. They've added a couple more weapons around CJ. They got Danielle Hunter to go with Will Anderson, and you know the AFC South is not the strongest division in the NFL. I think they've really set themselves up nicely, and I guess the other big question is who's going to catch the ball from Josh Allen now? Because Davis is in Jacksonville, I believe now.
He is in Jacksonville, which is where I'll be Friday night. Just as a matter of fact, but I don't think Gabe Davis is going to my talk. I mean, he's invited to go if he wants. It might be more attractive than the primary guy they have up there speaking. They may feel they can draft one. How about that? I don't know if they can or not, but let's see if they do.
I think I read somewhere that there's 40 receivers that could be drafted this year, just that the class is so deep. So I feel like out of 40 guys, they ought to be able to find one they like.
Right, exactly. And I think that's going to be a part of it. I think that's going to be a part of it. The draft will be where I think they'll turn to get whomever. And then, you know, Chase Claypool's in the CFL. No, forget that one. That's out. Well, I did that deliberately because it's one of the suit's favorite players of all time. Got a second-round pick for him. To this day, I'm still flabbergasted by that. Second-round pick? Really?
He had that stretch in his rookie year where he looked like he was going to be something.
Yeah, but nobody gives up those picks anymore.
Well, no.
I mean, nobody gives. Look at this trade today. Look at this trade today. Look at the draft picks they gave up. Right? That's the nature of it now. The fact that, I mean, it's one of the great steals of all time. I don't know. It doesn't matter. That's old news. That's yesterday's news, but it sure was baffling to me when it happened. It's still baffling to me now. All right, now, let's do a quick recap of the Big Ten 1 year later. Okay? 1 year ago today, Oregon and Washington were members of the Pac-12 looking to get a new Pac-12 TV contract. 1 year ago today, Pat Fitzgerald was putting Northwestern through spring football as the head football coach. 1 year ago today, Mel Tucker was putting Michigan State through practice as the Michigan State head football coach. Brian Ferentz was the offensive coordinator at Iowa. And nobody knew who Connor Stallions was. That was a year ago in the Big Ten. Today, Oregon and Washington are now preparing to go into the Big Ten. Mel Tucker is out at Michigan State, and it's a lawsuit. We now know who Connor Stallions is, and we also know when it coincided with them starting to win again. Oh. And then there's Pat Fitzgerald, and of course he's embroiled in the lawsuit with Northwestern. Now, why does it come up now? Because yesterday, a judge in Cook County decided not to dismiss the case. And that was the big part of it. He said, no, he said, this needs to play out. So Northwestern had filed a motion to drop the case. And it's a $130 million wrongful termination lawsuit. Not only did the judge deny the motion to drop it, he set a trial date for April 7th next year. Fitzgerald actually wanted this in December. Because he wants to be able, in some form or another, pro, whatever it may be, he wants to coach again, and he can't do anything until this thing is settled one way or the other. Now, we all know that this is the lawsuit about being fired for cause after agreeing to a suspension of 2 weeks following Northwestern's own investigation about hazing. So he says that Northwestern and University President Michael Schill violated his written contract. He is seeking $68 million that remained on his contract that ran through 2030, as well as future earnings losses of approximately $62 million, thus the total of $130. He also has hired a legal team in Chicago that is considered in Chicago to be among the top shelf law groups you can go with there. The university launched an investigation in January of 23 led by attorney Maggie Hickey. The probe found that while claims of hazing from a former player were largely corroborated, there was not sufficient evidence that Fitzgerald himself and other coaches and staff had knowledge of the incidents. Northwestern attorney Reed Schar, though, argued at the February hearing 2 months ago that additional allegations of hazing from former Northwestern players prompted Shill's decision to fire Fitzgerald. So that's where it is. Todd, there's one thing that Northwestern, their side, and Pat Fitzgerald, his side, that they both don't want to do. Neither side, let's be honest, wants to call any of the alleged victims to the witness stand. Neither side wants to do that.
No, and I'd be surprised if there's not a settlement soon, too, just because if it's going to trial, I'm guessing that neither, or especially Northwestern, won't want to go to trial.
Right. I mean, look, it's going to be expensive, but in the end, yeah, you could see a settlement of between $30 and $50 million somewhere in that area. But in the end, yeah, I agree with you. There's going to have to be some settlement here because I don't think anybody wants to air out all of this in a courtroom.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if this gets a discovery, we're going to know exactly what everybody knew and exactly what happened, probably.
And the university, it's going to be bad for the university, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other part. It's going to be bad for the university. So that's why, you know, it's obvious why Fitzgerald doesn't want them called. But think about the university side. They don't want them called either.
No, because if it did happen, they're probably liable for some of it as well.
Right.
Not to Pat, obviously, but I'm sure there'll be once if this goes to trial and some of this comes out, I'm sure there'll be lawsuits from the victims as well.
Right, and that's exactly the point they're trying to
avoid,
without question. So that's where life in the conference is right now. If you're kind of wondering. It's another week in the Big Ten. Meanwhile, they have Iowa in the women's Final Four playing UConn on Friday night and Purdue in the men's Final Four playing NC State on Saturday night. So that's the good part. Ugh. It's some of these days, you just sit there and go, oh, we got to talk about that? All right. And you know you have to talk about it, so you do. It's not as fun as talking about other things.
I was just going to say, did you see the line yesterday in Raleigh to meet DJ Burns at Applebee's?
No. Really?
It was over a mile long.
Was this an NIL thing for him?
Or? I don't know. He was signing autographs. It was a meet and greet thing. I'm sure it was.
Okay.
It was Tuesday. Maybe it was a two for Tuesday thing for him. He is a big boy.
Ooh, he is a large man. But he has soft hands, soft touch, nimble feet. I mean, for a man that size, hey, boy, he moves pretty well.
I wish they said the same about me.
Oh, mercy.
He's got nimble feet for a big man.
Yeah, but he does, though. You watch him. He's like, he kind of just kind of glides along. And right, and he's a beautiful passer. You know, I mean, there's certain things that, you know, like anybody, you can pick on. But, wow, I give him a lot of credit. Longer timeouts in the NCAA help him as well, and they help Kevin Keats. They don't have to manage him the same way they managed him in the ACC tournament because, you know, they're always taking him in, out. But when you're playing consecutive days like that, five in a row, you do have to play it that way. In the NCAA, you've got time off in between games. The TV timeouts are longer. There's an extra one in the first half that you don't have in the regular season. So there's a lot of things that work to their advantage in the usage of him. And it's going to be interesting to see what they want to do matchup-wise with Zach Edey. Do they put Diarra on him? or do they put Burns on him? That is going to be an interesting dilemma. And De'Ara, with him, brings with it the other issue we talked about yesterday. And that is the issue, and it's, you know, and it's an issue we all respect. I mean, right? It's Ramadan. He can't have anything to eat or drink when the sun is up. And they're playing the first game, which is 3:09 Mountain Standard Time. Yeah, they don't change. Arizona doesn't change the clocks. Okay. Well, so they're on. So they stay on Mountain Standard Time. Well, right now that's 3 hours behind Eastern Daylight Time.
Okay.
Right. And you know what they're always telling everybody. As I said yesterday on the show, what are they always telling athletes all the time? Hydrate, 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 hydrate. Right. With his beliefs, he can't, which I respect. But still, and then there's the Kansas City. Did you see the Kansas City story?
About the stadium?
Yep.
Yeah. They're not going to use a new tax to fund the stadiums.
No. And it was voted down 58-42. Now, here's the issue that they have with it. Right? The issue they have is there's not a concrete plan in place for it. I think people want to see, where is it going to be? Now, let's give the Royals credit. They want to build. Let's give them credit and then take the credit away. We'll take the credit away by saying they're the ones that don't have a concrete plan in place. Okay? But they want to put $1 billion of their own money into it. Now, the Chiefs want to do some renovation work at Arrowhead, so they already have the structure there. It's $800 million. The Chiefs are willing to put $300 million in. Okay. But the fact is they don't have a concrete plan on where to put the baseball stadium. Now, you know who want? It's a $2 billion-plus ballpark district they want to create. They want to put $1 billion of their own in, but the whole project's worth a little bit more than $2 billion. Okay. Well, you want to know who wants one or both of them? Kansas City. Kansas. In MLS Sporting KC, that stadium is actually in Kansas, Kansas City, Kansas. The racetrack is also, I'm talking about the auto racetrack, is also in Kansas City, Kansas. So you could still be Kansas City, but you may not be in Missouri. Interesting, huh?
I mean, that would be interesting, just because I wonder how many people actually realize they're in Kansas City, Missouri, and not Kansas City, Kansas anyway.
Well, I know the guy in the corner office just perked up and said, really? But they wanted to extend the 3/8 of a cent sales tax that they've been using for maintenance out of the Truman Sports Complex. Well, and it was going to go for the next 40 years. The problem they're having is that the taxpayers don't want to invest the money because there are too many unanswered questions, and that's a fair way to look at it. They're not going to blindly just give it to you. Show us exactly where you want to put it and why. Then we'll vote. And the Royals have not done that, and that was the big problem with it. Because they've picked out three different spots and they haven't settled on one yet. And the mayor of Kansas City wanted a certain roadway still opened up and didn't want it closed off. And I guess he finally got a concession on that, but they still haven't settled on where. And there are a lot of people that don't want to go downtown. Now, there's certain parts of downtown that are can't, you know, and for those of you who just went to the NCAA wrestling championships, you know what I'm talking about. the area down by the Sprint Center and then so forth, right? And the baseball park they would like to put relatively close to where the Sprint Center is. Okay, and that's a busy area down there, right? And the area is called the Crossroads, if I'm correct. Art, you know, it's an arts area. It's a restaurant area. You know, Sue was telling me all about the arts area. There was a whole thing on stick figures. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by NIL Game Changers here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
All right, this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for individuals and businesses. Go to NILGameChangers.org. Mike Poorman next half hour. Masters is next week. And Rory McIlroy's already talking about, look, they need to get this thing ironed out between the two tours sooner rather than later. Well, if you're wondering how the LIV people feel about it, they feel the same way. John Rahm, Phil Mickelson, and Bryson DeChambeau all said during their press conferences down at Doral that the sport needs to be reunited before too many golf fans turn away for good. I mean, DeChambeau says the fans are what drive the sport. We don't have fans, we don't have golf. And that's like in any sport. You don't have any fans, you don't have the sport. That's why I always talk about the triangle: players, owners, fans. Every time there's a labor dispute in sports, there's no game without the players. Well, that's true, but there's also no game without owners that have to pay the freight, and there's no game at all unless you can attract fans. And you can't take your fans for granted. Never. You can never take fans for granted. Okay? They are the lifeblood of success. You can find owners. You can find players. But you can't find fans. You have to cultivate it. And you can't do things that turn them off, because there are a lot of options. Like, I think the suit's already bought two nights worth of tickets for WWE, hasn't he? No? Maybe?
I cannot answer that question.
I'm going to ask.